something that's been really heavy on my heart is just being in prayer for this church specifically. I don't want to knock on other churches, but I've talked with Ariel and a lot of other people, and like what we have and what we get to do here is so unique and special. And I just want to pray that people will come in our doors and experience this. And that we, as the people that are here every Sunday and have been going to this church and are members of this church, pray that God would just ignite a fire in us to lead. Because all of us are called to be leaders. Maybe you're not up here playing an instrument or singing or preaching, but that's not all that you can do to lead. And I pray that we would lead others, and that we would bring others into the presence of God, like the people that brought the lame friend and dropped him down, that we would be that for people that need to be in this building. So I pray that you, and I would ask that you would just join me in this as we pray for our church. God, I just lift you up this morning. God, I pray for this building and this body of believers, God, that our influence for you would be greater than ever before, Father. That this building would be filled with hungry people for you, Father. Not perfect people. People that are desperate for the love that you give. Desperate to praise your name, God. God, I pray that you would guide us in the ways that you want us to move, Father. That we would do what you want us to do, not what we want to do, but what you want us to do, Father. That you would move in ways that we've never experienced before, God. God, we're asking you to come and meet us here. God, we thank you. For the marvelous creator that you are. And for placing each and every person in this situation, in this time in history right now, God. The people you've placed in our life, God, that we would just grow in relationship with them because of you, Father. God, that we would be a mighty group of believers and servants of you, Father. God, I pray for a newfound fire of servitude for you in this church. God, break us from the bondage of everyday routine. God, give us a new agenda, a heavenly agenda, Father. We exalt you this morning and every day of our lives, Father. Your name is mighty and holy. You are worthy of everything we have, Father. This is all for you. Any selfish ambition, we pray that that would just leave and flee in Jesus' name. God, that we are just so devoted to the kingdom. We love you. We praise you this morning. We lift this church up. We lift this country up. We lift this world up to you, Father, because you do what only you can do. Nothing is impossible for the Most High. We sit at your feet, humble. We humbly approach your throne this morning, God. We love you and thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You guys sit down for a second, please, before I turn it over to Jeff. The beauty of what we have is this great invitation that we're extended. I love the scripture. I think it's in Acts 4. When Peter and John have gone in, they've healed the man at the temple. And the religious leaders bring them in for questioning. And it said that, the scripture says that they marveled at what they could say as unlearned men. And it said that one of those men that was sitting there was Gamaliel. He was like the premier teacher of Torah and everything. I mean, it's like if you could sit under some amazing teacher, if you're a Greek, you could sit under Socrates or somebody like that, you know. And it said that they all marveled at the revelation, I'll say revelation, that Peter and John had, even though they were unlearned men. And it says that I love the wording in the Passion Translation, it says that they took note of the effect of time spent with Jesus had on their lives. I think the King James just says they took note that they had been with Jesus. And they attributed every bit of their understanding and wisdom and the way they carried themselves by the fact that they had been with Jesus. And the gift that we've been given, the beauty of what we have here and available everywhere, is this invitation for common people. Something extremely significant happened when Jesus was on the cross and the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. The disciples didn't go up there and tear it down as a form of rebellion against the religious hierarchy. God tore it from top to bottom. And until that time, you had to go through a priest. The priest could go in once a year into the Holy of Holies. That was the access. Once a year into the Holy of Holies. And in doing that, in ripping this veil in two from top to bottom, all of a sudden, there was this beautiful invitation to access. And the thing that I love about this is that I believe with everything in me that I have access to come and take communion with Him without having a holy man administer it to me. I'm not knocking other parts of the Christian faith. There's other parts of the Christian faith that you can't come up and take communion. You have to have a priest administer it to you. And I'm not mad at them. I feel sorry for them. that there feels like there's this line of division, this line of separation. And the beauty for us is common people. And I look around this room and I consider every one of us just to be common people. I mean, tomorrow you'll be doing your trade or going to school. Be making handlebars for Harley Davidson. That's a holy line of work, right? But the beautiful thing about the Lord is he tears this veil of distinction between secular and holy, between common and priests and kings. I love Peter comes in and he says, we're a nation of priests and kings. And that's why this means so much to me, is we have this invitation into access to him. And he says, come and take of me. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Partake of me, with me, in me. To me, the most beautiful scripture in all of the Bible is John 14 through 17. And the reason it's the most beautiful to me is because Jesus is sharing his heart and saying, I am offering you, the Father is offering you life union with me. For all of us. Mason, not just, well, I've been a preacher for 30 years. All of us, brother. Every single one of us. He says, I want to do life with you. I had an amazing week this week because I was outside all week. I was in nature all week. You know, cutting wood, bush hogging, all that good fun stuff. Happy times, happy place. But in the middle of that, it was just screaming the creation of an amazing God that spoke all of it into existence. And he allowed me to be right in the middle of it and see the colors and feel the temperatures and just everything, the smells and all of it. And he says, I invite you into my world. And it's a personal invitation, guys. This is a call for salvation. Because a lot of times we need to get saved. I'm not talking about salvation, heaven and hell. I'm talking about salvation. We need to get saved from getting trapped in the lie of separation. From the lie of non-communion with him. And we let all of these things separate us, Sharon, whether it's shame, it's feeling of inadequate. I was talking to a brother not too long ago, and he said, you know, they've started hosting some. He said, we used to not host because we were embarrassed about what we didn't have. And we think about what we don't have, Eric, and we think that keeps us from coming to God. And he tells us to boldly approach the throne of grace. And that's not just for our petitions. That's for, I just want to be in your presence and to feel you and to know you and to be invited and be right in the middle of this perichoresis. And that's the gift of what we have. Is a invitation into life union. It's an invitation into life union. You know why it was so, all of you guys that have, or you're either engaged or got married, you know why the proposal was so amazing? Because Josh said, I want to do life with you. I loved Jack's like, I can't believe that God gave me somebody like Hannah. And what we've done is we've so pandered to parishioners and each other that we're like, God's lucky to have me. And I want to tell you something, guys. I'm the lucky one. Because this God that we're singing about, and we felt His power, and we felt His presence, and we felt His glory, and He invites us into this beautiful union, James. And He says, I want you to come into my world, because I'm here and I brought my world with me. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. And it's for the common man. It's for us, Sharon. The ones that we don't always act right, and we don't always talk right, and maybe we don't always say the right things. And the lie of religion and the lie of the world is that that separates us from this. And it doesn't. I think it's Apostle Paul asked, what can separate us from the love of God? And he goes on this long list of things, and in his conclusion is, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's freely given. To me, that's what propelled the first century church. That's what launched them into everything we admire about them in the book of Acts, was the love and grace that Jesus lavished upon them. And it was fresh, Brett. It was fresh. And their overflow changed the world. I'll add to your prayer, and thank you, Isaac. I love your heart. I love your passion. I love your courage to speak. I pray that our overflow washes all over this world. Everybody we come in contact with, there's an overflow. When you are giddy in love, you cannot hide it. When you are smitten, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. And when you are uninhibited, don't anybody in here ever teach that young man he doesn't have access to this. Because right now, you know what he feels? An invitation from the Father. I saw a fresh baby this week. Guy works with us Thursday. Brought his new son in. He was so thrilled. They had a hard time getting pregnant. Got pregnant. Had some complications. The baby came. He looks fantastic. About 8-day-old baby, 7-day-old baby. He came in. All I saw on that child, I didn't see a sin curse. I didn't see a great divide. I didn't see a barrier. I didn't see a wall. You know what I saw? I saw beauty in God's creation, and I saw a peace on that child. I saw love on that child. That's the invitation we have to enter into, guys. That's our invitation. Let it be precious, and let it be special, and let it be personal. That's the thing. Let it be personal. Guys, let it be personal. Because it is. It is. For common people. Like us. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I'm doing, but I sure am enjoying figuring it out on the way. Because He walks with me, Sharon. He walks in me. And He allows me to walk in Him. And that's beautiful. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news. God in us. God with us. God for us. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the hope. They thought He was going to overturn Rome. You thought He was going to fix your finances and everything else. He says, I want to come in and I want to bring you into my world. That'll change yours. So that's our invitation. That's our gift. That's our gift. That's what we have. Every time you look at this, do not see a barrier. See an invitation. See an invitation to come up here. To come into this place. Amen. If you do that, your life will be transformed. If you just keep saying yes to the invitation, just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. That's in your daily walk. That's not always up. That's not an hour and a half, 2 hours up here on Sunday. Just keep showing up for the walk. Amen. Yeah. Man, did you have something you want to share?
So this is, this is out of the norm for me. This is like the second time I've gotten up here. So, I know that's the Holy Spirit prompting me. But as Isaac was saying and then Cindy was saying, when you experience the Lord, you can't not show it. And I have a word for y'all this morning that really prompted my heart. And it says in Psalm 66, verse 10, "For you, God, tested us. You refined us as silver is refined." And the greatest thing about being refined like silver is to be refined, you have to go to the hottest pot, the hottest spot of the furnace, the hottest spot. And so when God refines you, he takes you through the hottest fire, the hardest times. He takes you through the hottest fire, the highest temperature, to refine you. You know why? Because he wants to take all the impurities. Because when gold and silver is refined, purity is raised to the surface and it is made pure. That's why it's called purified, because you're being made pure. And so when he calls us to be holy, he also calls us to be purified and sanctified through him, because we're being transformed and purified. He's raising purity to the surface. So if you're going through hell right now, you're going through the fire, don't look at it as a punishment. Look at it as a blessing, because he's making you more like him. He's purifying you. He's taking all the things that are not like him and he's completely transforming you, because that's what we're called to be, in likeness of him. Silver is taken out when it's like a mirror. I saw this on an Instagram reel. He said, this silversmith said, he said, when we take the silver out, we usually know when it's ready, when we can see a reflection on the silver. When the Lord sees his reflection on you, when you're made in likeness of him, that's when he's going to take you out of the fire. Okay? That's when the blessings are going to come. When he can trust you with what he has provided you with, then that's when the blessings come. So I just encourage you, if you're going through fire, that is a blessing. That means he is pushing you to your best version. Okay? So, that's what just the Lord put in my heart. So, I just encourage y'all to remind yourself, fire is a blessing. And when you're put through fire, you can't come out the same. I've never seen paper burn and it come out the same. So.
All right. Man, who's got children in church this morning? We're going to release you guys right now and let y'all run up. And I'm going to thank you, worship team. Y'all can find a seat. So appreciate you guys. Amen. As I said earlier, thank you, Eric. I appreciate you, brother. As I said earlier, it's good to have Brother Jeff with us, and he's been home for a few weeks visiting family, and glad to have him here with us. And he said, "Hey, can I give an update on my?" I was like, "Absolutely, you can." So he's going to come and give us an update of what all is happening and God is doing in his neck of the woods over in the Philippines. So come on up, Brother Jeff.
Yeah, we really wasn't planning on doing. Addie Sharon can testify to that. Let me get my notes. I just have some thank you cards I'm going to share with you from the scholars that the scholars wrote me. But I've been back for almost a month now. My first priority was to get here and go see my first granddaughter. Or actually, first grandchild. And she is precious. I get a little emotional. She stole my heart already. And I just kind of want to share a little bit of her story. She's actually adopted. My eldest son, Cody, and his wife, Jen, had four miscarriages, and they really wanted a child, so they ended up adopting Ruth as a newborn. And God really spoke to me through that. I was reading in the Bible, and I read in Ephesians 1:5 about how God has adopted us into his family. And it really started to make sense, because that's what we do with our scholars as well. They're adopted into, we're more than just a scholarship. Salt and Light World Mission, or Salt and Light Debenaturin Scholarship Program, is about family. So we adopt them in the family. We become a family. And I asked, this messes with me. But I asked the scholars upon Sharon's prompting to make thank you letters for everyone, all the sponsors and stuff. And they made these really cool cards, but some of them took it upon themselves to make one just for me personally. I was just going to read a couple of them. Dear Sir Jeff, good afternoon, Sir Jeff. Thank you very much for your help to us, sir, and for getting us as scholars. Thank you also, Sir Jeff, for being... like a second father. To us and treating us like your own children. Thank you so much for everything, Sir Jeff. Take care. The other one. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for supporting me, and I'm so grateful that you gave me this opportunity to be a scholar. I really appreciate this opportunity you give to us, and thank you for providing for our food allowance and what all I need. Thank you for loving us and calling us as your Anakis child. I really love you so much. We will miss you when you're going to the U.S., and we'll be praying that your flight will be safe. Thank you for everything you give for us, and I hope that you appreciate this message. Honestly, the past year has been a knockdown, drag out fight with the enemy. I mean, it's like been one thing right after another. I don't even want to even talk about what I've had to deal with, but I was to the point of just being plumb burnt out. So I'm like, what am I going to do? I just planned a trip to come to here and kind of rejuvenate and head back. And the whole time I'm thinking, well, you know, how do I prevent this from happening in the future? And the answer is there, y'all. Right there with those children, those precious children. All right, and I don't like talking, but and that's what I've had to deal with the past year, but that's how I deal with it, and so I know now how to deal with it. I'm give you guys just a brief quick update. To this date, we've had 12 scholars graduate the scholarship program. And 11 of the 12 are going to college. And we're... Our first graduate, she will be graduating from college as a nurse, or nursing college, like next year. We have nine. Actually, this year is going to be our largest class. We have 9 scholars that are going to be graduating high school this year. So we just keep them in your prayers that they will continue and go on to college, because that's what we're doing, is pushing them to go to college. Last school year we had, of the 50 scholars, we had over 25 of them were completed their school year with honors. We have one that has high, she completed her school year with high honors with a 95 GPA, which is amazing. We currently have 51 scholars. We're looking to add a couple more to kind of replace some that have left. We started at our newest school is Shasin. It was once a really dark place. It was once a stronghold for the New People's Army. The New People's Army is like the communist rebels, and they all like under the last president, they kind of surrendered. So it's really, we're able to actually go and flood this place with light, with salt and light. We had 4 scholars there. We're down to 3. One of them quit. We're about to add a second one. We went in there and we remodeled. Last year we remodeled the old teacher's bunkhouse. And our scholars are staying there, plus additional. There's like 20-something kids staying at this one little bunkhouse. See, anything else, Addy? I'm thinking, I do have the plans, if anybody wants to see them, for our dorm house that we're going to build in town. We're hoping to get with next year. We're going to be kicking off our fundraiser for that. We're hoping to be complete with that by the year 2028. That will be the 10-year anniversary of our scholarship. So we'd like to be in that building by then. Absolutely no fundraising while I'm here. Well, yesterday, November 1, we're kicking off our Christmas fundraising. We'll be doing that. And we're trying to raise about $5,000 is what we're needing. And that's going to cover our Christmas outreach. We're going to do our Christmas outreach again at Campo Dos. That's where everything started. And it's a 10-year anniversary of our very first Christmas outreach there. So we have like 250 kids we're going to buy toys for and feed and their families as well. So that's where we're going to go. And then we're in 5 different schools. So we're in the two high schools in town. Then we have high schools and junior high schools in the mountains. I think we're 6 now. I have to check. But we'll be sponsoring the Christmas parties at all these schools as well. And then we're going to have our big throwdown with the scholars. And anything that's left over, we're going to buy groceries for the elderly widows and widowers that we support occasionally. As soon as I get back, I'm going to be taking 2 boys that have the cliff lips that I don't think it's a coincidence, but I'll be out doing something and I'll stumble on these kids. The doctor's coming next in a few weeks to our capital city to do the surgery. So I take them there. I take care of the families while they're having the surgery. I'm taking those 2 boys. I think that's about it. Anything else, Addy? Okay, Atty's going to speak. That's good. Yeah. I call Sharon Atty. Atty is like a big sister, so I look up to Sharon as my sister. She calls me Kuya. I'm thinking, any questions you guys have? No? Okay. I'll just give it to Sharon now.
I'm not going to be long. How many scholars do you have?
51.
And you feed them and you house them and you take care of their families, right? That is a miracle in and of itself. Y'all figure out what that takes to actually do that. And he provides health care. When they get sick, you know, this is very rural mounds. They don't go to an urgent care. You know, they have to travel. There is no medicine, money for medicine, doctor's visits. Jeff takes care, you know, that's incorrect. Jeff is the facilitator for the Lord to take care of all of that. And with 51 kids, the support that he gets from the groups that he is in is nowhere near enough. Kind of like our budgets this day, it's nowhere near enough. But God is very, very faithful to that. And while we're kicking off a Christmas fundraiser, Lord knows, everybody knows it is tight as all get out everywhere. Here, the Philippines, where he is experiencing exponential financial inflation, corruption. Things are held. You have to pay to get them out. You have to participate in the system or you don't really move. You cannot buck that entire system. That's a lesson for me. But anyway, one of the kids wrote a card to this church, and I just wanted to read it to y'all. And there's some cards for folks out there, but it says, "Thank you so much." And it said, Lord, I need my glasses. Well, I got to get my glasses. Hang on, y'all. I'm sorry. Nothing like showing your vulnerability in front of everybody. I can't read it. It's small cursive. But they go to great lengths to make these cards. I mean, they don't go to the Dollar Tree or Dollar General or Walmart. If you see, they really put a lot of effort into these cards that they do. But it says, walking almost 1 hour from home to school every day, empty stomach and no allowance, makes me feel like I can never reach my ambition in life. We complain about the middle school drop-off line, but they are really have a hard time. But I am so blessed that I have this opportunity. I get a weekly allowance. I get food and I get shelter. It encourages me to continue my studies. Without an education, these kids don't go anywhere. And you guys are a part of that. Whether you say a 5-minute prayer, whether you shoot, and Jeff has been through a lot this year, lots of trials, lots of tribulations. Whether you shoot him a text midweek because he crosses your mind, you guys are a part of what God is doing there, you know. And with this Christmas fundraiser coming up, we sent out an email just recently. There's QR codes you can give in about 7 different ways. But, you know, back when we used to have to collect these little gifts, that was a royal pain. And then you had to pay to ship them. Took months and months. A lot of the toys came, would end up getting damaged. So we decided, let's stop doing that, of which I was very grateful. Let's stop doing that so that we don't have to go through all that. Let's try to do the churches that support to do a donation. I just want y'all to prayerfully consider it. It goes along with what everybody's saying. This church and the numbers of this church do miraculous things by the size of this church. This church gets called on by people all in the community who are hungry, who need a light bill, who need help. We're a small church, but we do, our impact is great. So I just wanted to encourage y'all with this, that everyone who sits under his voice and everybody who does any little thing, whether it's $5, whether it's prayer, whether it's a text, because he does need encouragement. He's in a very dark area. That communist area is no joke. Y'all know there are certain areas that are harder to go into than others, and Jeff lives in that 24/7. So I just ask y'all to keep praying for him, keep supporting him. And I'm going to say one other thing about the goodness of God, because Jeff's son struggled with infertility, and they adopted a precious girl. And y'all know that I'm all about adoption of any kind. Well, now his wife is pregnant. So we need to cover that. Because God is faithful to you, Jeff. I know you worry about your family and kids, but God is faithful to take care of him and his loves and his important things while he's gone, just like he does us. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it back over to y'all. Y'all keep doing what you're doing. I love y'all, and I appreciate y'all. Y'all keep pouring into others. We're supposed to be a different church. We're supposed to be different. Look at us. We're supposed to be different.
Jesus said, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. They said, Lord, when have we seen you naked or hungry or in prison? He said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. If you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. I feel really led for us to come up. And Jeff, come on up here, brother. I want us to pray with Jeff, over Jeff, for Jeff, for the ministry there. Let's do this, guys. 2 weeks from today, let's take up a love offering for Jeff's ministry and the outreach, for the Christmas outreach. We're not taking up toys this year. And I say let's 2 weeks from today, let's take up an offering. And so I encourage you to, you can donate any way you want to, but I'm kind of old school. And there is something about me coming up here. I mean, you do, because we support a lot of different ministries, and this is about the only one that we do that. But there's something about me coming up here and putting a check on that altar. I know it all goes into in an account and all that, but there's just something about me bringing something to the altar. That's why we have the communion up here, so you can come to the altar and come to the altar and take it. And so I encourage you, if you're going to be here 2 weeks, do it a little bit different. I know you guys are modern and fancy and all that, a lot more than me. I'm a simple man, but bring something and place it in a basket. And if you're not going to be here, then by all means, we'll go online and all that. I will discuss with church leadership. I'm sure our church will be making a good donation to that as well as a body. But I encourage you to, besides your church ties, I encourage you to maybe step out of your box. Maybe give when you don't have it to give. Maybe give when it's a stretch. Just because you can. I'm not even going to come on the backside and say, you're going to be blessed beyond measure and all that. So I'm just saying give because you can. Because that's not the case with most of the world. Especially the third world countries. That's not the case. They have very, 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 very little to give. And that's not the case for us. So anyway, 2 weeks from today, I'll get Errol to send an email out, text reminder and all of that stuff. So we'll do that in 2 weeks. I want us to, everybody come on up. I'm not going to preach, don't worry. I'm going to save it for 2 weeks. Unless the government shutdown gets us, we're going to be in Honduras next Sunday. So Brother Brett House is going to be bringing the word. So y'all just be pray for us as we go, and pray for Brett. We'll be praying for you guys. Marty, come on up here, Senor. Christy, come on up behind your husband and lay hands on him. Whiskey, lay hands on Jeff, Marty, and lead us. The power of the first century church, there were two things in the first century church that, you know, we all say we want to be like the church in Acts. And there were two things that, to me, defined that first century church. And one was their courage and boldness to preach the gospel truth about Jesus Christ. And the second thing was their unusual love for each other. Their community that they were in. The community that God created. And it was birthed out of the love and grace that God poured on each one of them. That was the thing they had in common. We go around and we're different. We have different likes and different hobbies and different things and all that. But the thing that binds us all together is the grace that's been lavished on us by Christ and our love for him, because he first loved us. That's the common denominator for everybody here. And the more I travel internationally, the more I see that we are more like the people in other countries than we are different. because they want the same things that we want. They want safety and security for their families and food for their children. They want to be able to love their families in a place of peace. And we know what the answer is to that. You know, in the natural, it's stable governments and all those things. But in the spiritual, it's union with Christ. And so whatever we can do to help release that into the world, I want to make impact here, but whatever we can do to release that into the world, then let's be all in. Let's be all in. And we're fortunate in this house, little small church, and we've got mission outreach in Central America and Southeast Asia through these people right here. And I feel blessed, but I also feel a sense of responsibility too. That you guys are a gift to us. All y'all are a gift to us. And I don't ever want us to take that gift lightly. And for such a time as this, God's put these people in our lives. You know, of all the people on the 8+ billion people on the planet. And here we are. In union with a man that's called to live his life in the Philippines. To do what Jesus said, if you do it to them, you do it to me. And two people that selflessly give in Central America. It's the same thing. And so I'm honored to be a part of you guys. Our little small, unique, common people church. I'm honored to be here. So y'all come on in, lay hands. I want everybody touching somebody. You touch somebody.
Mm-hmm.